And I'm a little bummed because micro wrestling is coming to the fairgrounds.
Joni, are you sure you want to talk about this?
Micro wrestling is coming to the fairgrounds.
Tell the people what that is.
Micro wrestling is midget wrestling.
Y'all,
they have, look, these little people have found a way to make some money, and they are doing, I mean, they're rocking.
We are going to be canceled 100% after this episode. It's done.
Here I am, a little person. Come on. Come on.
I know. I agree with you.
Y'all can all say that, you know, I should go put on a leotard and jump right in. Then I can see what I want to.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
What was the girl Smurf?
Smurfette. You're Smurfette. Smurfette. When you wear blue, I call you Smurfette. Literally.
You're blue frequently, and I'm wearing blue right now.
When you have your whole blue outfit, or when you have your whole pink outfit, what do I call you?
I don't know about
strawberry shortcake.
Well, note that I knew you called me that when I was pink.
Well, you don't wear the pink as much, you know, you do tend to wear the blue more, but every once in a while you've worn like an all pink something, and I'm like, look, it's strawberry shortcake. Okay. Welcome, everybody. We are off and running on episode 196 of Designer Cornbread. How is everybody doing out there?
Just peachy.
I'm a little fired up about some things, so I don't know. Let's catch up. No, I don't. It's there. No, it's, I'll get into a couple, one thing, but let's just get caught up first. Let's see how everybody's doing. How was your weekend? Have you survived your first full week of school?
I survived my first full week of school.
Okay.
Well, so really this week is going to be the first really full week of school because last week it was staggered schedule. You know, I had sophomores one day, I had freshmen one day, and then I had juniors and seniors one day. So this will be the true, but now I will say Friday was my first day with everybody teaching, going over the rules. You know, everybody's in class, so we're kicking it off. I lost my voice Friday.
Oh, I bet you did.
I mean, and several teachers actually were like, how are you doing today? I said, I can't talk. They said, we can't either.
You've got to get it back, I'm sure. You're not used to talking all day.
I've not talked that much all summer long.
No, so she's been pretty quiet, y'all.
All summer. All the words I said all summer.
It's
were
a good
less
thing.
Than the words I said on Friday.
It's a good thing we have a podcast every week, or you might not say anything.
I might not say anything. So
that's how I am, you guys, for real.
Yeah. So today's the first real day of school, and I just reviewed safety. For most of mine, it's a review. They should have had it in Culinary 1, so the ones coming from Culinary 2. I know the ones that I've had in Culinary, you know, 3 and 4, that they've had safety. So it was just kind of review, but you got to go over it and all that. So tomorrow we start sanitation and surf safe.
Okay. That's the first thing you hit right off the bat.
So that's cool. Caleb was home this weekend with Layla.
Oh.
Layla is his puppy, who is absolutely precious.
Okay. She's so cute.
And she's just...
Is she still just as sweet as can be?
Yes. So she comes in from outside and she sees me if I'm sitting in my little chair. I mean, one day she just spilled coffee all over me because she just pounds. She's just this pouncer. You know, she comes running in, she just pounces, flies
she's
through the air.
She's excited. She gets excited.
Or you know that it's even coming. So, but she's just sweet. And John Garrett said it best. He said, she doesn't lick you, but she kisses you.
Oh.
So she'll come up and she won't lick you, but she'll put her mouth
on
you.
Oh, she'll just do a little
Boop.
A little mouth boop. Okay.
A little mouth boop on you. Yeah.
Well, so, she's giving kisses. Oh my gosh. She's just so precious. Is she bigger? Is she gotten bigger?
Not a whole lot. She ain't gotten a whole lot bigger since I've seen her. But okay. But yeah. And she has all her big girl teeth in now. So yeah, she lost all of her baby teeth. And anyway, y'all, this is my grandchild now. I have no grandchildren. I have no hope of grandchildren right now.
Listen, a grand puppy, a grand dog is a beautiful thing because you can love on them and then they go home just like grandkids. So it works great.
Right. So,
and how was Shadow with her? Was he a little more like just
accepting? Better this time, yeah, but he was not. He still, you know, he didn't want her in his face.
Yeah.
Shadow, if y'all heard us talk on the last podcast, Shadow and Sherlock they're the old men. And they didn't know about all the active puppy stuff going on.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it was a lot of dog, you know, we had a lot going on at 4th of July. So
a lot of people, a lot of dogs, a lot of.
Right. So that was not a fair with just one. I'm sure Shadow was like, okay, I can get away. I can.
Yeah. He did not like her in his face and stuff.
No,
but
no.
Did
okay. Okay. Good.
I did send, They came home, Caleb came home Thursday, I guess, and Friday I sent them to Flourish because I wanted them to do the biohack thing because that's how Ron found out about his Hashimoto's.
Oh, good. Oh, good idea.
Which is hereditary.
Okay.
And he's got some snippet. We call it the mother-father snippet. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it affects all things. And so John Garrett is the one really that I think is probably going to have Hashimoto's because he is Ron Shank just made over.
Okay.
And they're cut from the same cloth, but even, you know, John Garrett takes naps after he eats.
Okay. You're There's seeing some similar. Thing. Okay. Yes. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, when do they get that back?
In a couple of weeks, I think they'll know something.
Well, it's good to know. Because, you know, like Ron didn't find out till, late 50s. Like, geez.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, but Caleb gets there and passes out and throws up.
Stop it right now, Joni.
He did.
Joni.
John Garrett has made fun of him to no end.
Of course he has.
John Garrett said, Mom, he didn't throw up when they stuck him or they were pulling the blood out of him. He said, but when they pulled the needle out, that's when he passed out.
He's not supposed to look at it. Does he know not to look at it?
I don't know that he did look at it. He
just knew it was. Y'all, listen, just a quick, really fast side story because you heard what she just said about Blub. Passing out, you know, did he really pass out did he really? Oh,
yes, he really passed out.
Uh-huh. You know, he has an aversion. He does not like blood and all that. That is just not, some people are not like that. But I just want to take us back really quickly into the early archive days of when my sweet Hudson was at their house. And I won't do the whole big story, but long story short, Shadow, as a matter of fact, got a little grab of his leg as he was jumping into the pool because anyway, the boys were being very rowdy. This is when Hudson was pretty young, a lot younger.
He was trying to jump in.
Yeah. And Shadow would get very, he's a shepherdy kind of dog. Anyway, it upset him when kids were jumping into the pool like that, because I think he thought I need to save them. And then my kid, of course, he didn't really know her. Anyway, long story short, got a good bite on his leg. And to the wear, long story short, took for stitches. I mean, you could see the fat in the calf, all the stuff. So, but he's blood brothers with Shadow now and loves him. Shadow sleeps in the bed with him. He adores that dog. Anyway, the point is, when that happened, and I guess Hudson had come up out of the pool and his leg was holding it up kind of because he knew he'd gotten something happened. And Caleb sees him injured with that and jumps in and gets him and gets him out and gets him inside. Like, does all the things, but, like, was totally traumatized afterwards.
So,
but got him in. Like, snapped to it. My point is I'm being proud of Blub and saying, yes, he's a super needle blood injury weenie, but when it came to it, he jumped in that pool and got Huddy out.
Here's what I remember, because it was pretty rough. It was pretty gruesome.
It was a little chunk.
So, anyway, so we're in getting Hudson ready to go to the ER to get stitched up and all that. And Pete was at our house when all this is going on.
Oh, I forgot that.
Pete came in. We're sitting there. Pete comes in and goes, "Hey, Caleb's throwing up in the backyard."
So, I mean, my point of bringing this up was to give him props and say, yes, squeamish, but man, when he had to pull it together to help somebody, he did it. And I'm forever grateful. Anyway, so he passed out. Mm-hmm. Bless yeah. him.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so they got that done. They did that. And then is everyone back at, is John Garrett still home?
Still home. Okay. He leaves Friday.
Okay.
To Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And then JB's coming in Friday night.
Oh, nice. So you're getting a little time with all the boys, all different times.
Just kind of coming in like a little clock here.
That's awesome. That does happen. Like even when they're grown like that, August is a good time. They've often been a time where like Thatcher, one of the kids will come home because it's just like, I don't know, it's just the end of summer and it just feels like a good time to come visit. So that's awesome. Oh my goodness.
So, and I just got back. I went and got my NAD or NAD mm-hmm. plus. I don't know what they call it. Mm-hmm. That injection. And one of my veins blew in the middle of that.
Oh, Joni.
So then I had to look. I've got little bandages on both arms.
Y'all, she's purple and blue bandaged up. Oh.
Yeah. I'm probably going to take the blue one off. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's a fun situation. Sorry about that.
Yeah. And, I'm a little bummed because micro wrestling is coming to the fairgrounds.
Joni, are you sure you want to talk about this?
Micro wrestling is coming to the fairgrounds.
Tell the people what that is.
Micro wrestling is midget wrestling.
Y'all,
they have. Look, these little people have found a way to make some money, and they are doing. I mean, they're rocking.
We are going to be canceled 100% after this episode. It's done.
Here I am, a little person. Come on.
I know. I agree with you.
Y'all can all say that, you know, I should go put on a leotard and jump right in. Then I can see what I want to.
So, if they want to wrestle, let them wrestle.
Listen, I am not opposed to putting on a bedazzled uniform and getting out there and jumping right in. I think I could take down knee high.
I think you really could.
So
I think you have a good shot.
Name myself, you know, strawberry shortcake.
Exactly. I 100%. Please. That would be amazing.
Give me a big blue bedazzled leotard.
Okay. I don't think you should be after your knee injury. I think you're retired from, I think you need to keep resting your knee. You're not ready for this season of micro wrestling.
Micro wrestling is the name of it. Y'all can look it up on the internet. I'm not joking.
They will. They will. Be careful what you look up, though, people. Just be careful.
Micro wrestling. Anyway, it's coming, and I've been so excited about it. But then I realized it's the night we've got a big thing at our church.
Listen.
It's the women's ministry fundraiser.
Why? Oh, Joni, that's dumb. Y'all could have just done something quick and then gone to the micro wrestling. What could be better than the women's church event going to the dwarf midget wrestling?
Box seats.
I'm very disappointed for you because I know that is something you did want to go to.
Did.
Darn it.
But it does go from 5 to 9. And so I might have time to sneak in.
Okay. You know, just at the end. Yeah. Don't sit around and visit.
No. I'm going to beeline out of there and get like maybe an hour or so.
Yeah. Okay.
Even half an hour of micro. Yeah.
And I feel like that those would be the better wrestlers too, because I feel like they'd be towards the end.
The weak ones out.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of the weak midgets. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Y'all, listen, I'm not joking. Look at that. They've got sex, I guess. I don't know what you call them, but like, I think the ones coming to Savannah, they're from Pigeon Forge. And then they've got a group in Kansas City. And they've got groups all over the United States of micro wrestling come to, wherever.
Okay, guys, you heard it here. You heard it here. Now you know. Go check your local news or whatever and see.
They might be coming to an area near you.
They might be coming to an area near you. A very small area.
Very small area.
But an area.
Small town.
Maybe it's only small towns because it's small. Get it? Micro? Okay. I need to stop because I'm already on the line with things. So in my mind, not outside, but in my mind. That is great. Well, I am sorry. I hope you get to see the last. I think you're going to make it for the last bit because we really do need a report on that. Don't we, guys? We need a report on the micro wrestling. Maybe you could do a little interview.
Don't come at me because legally I am supposed to sit on a cushion when I drive.
She is, you guys.
I don't want to hear any political correctness about say what I want to.
She exactly. She can say what she wants. I need to just keep it quiet, but that's okay. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Well, I mean, you know, today between I took Tim to the car rental place this morning. He's off to a little road trip for work. I didn't tell you this whole, I guess I didn't, bless his heart. Again, another side note. He last week was supposed to fly to Chicago for work and then fly from there to Dallas because he's got a job in Oklahoma and all that. And that was supposed to happen last week. And he got to the airport and got up in line for security and realized he didn't have his driver's license. He couldn't find his driver. Or no. Yeah, that's right. I'm getting everything confused. He couldn't find his driver's license. And so he's like freaking out, gets out of line, pulls all his stuff. Anyway, can't find it, comes home, misses his flight. We're looking everywhere. And, you know, like I said, usually I'm good at, you know, it's in your bag. But it wasn't. We tore through everything. Anyway, long story short, he ended up just staying home because he couldn't even get on a flight. His passport is expired. He's getting his passport renewed right now. Like he's in the process of doing it. And so it had expired. So he couldn't go. So he handled it like a champ. He can pivot, I'll tell you that. Anyway, and he headed, you know, to the driver's license place and got his birth certificate, did all that stuff to get it going and has a temporary. But all that was, so he just didn't go last week because he's like, I don't even know if they'll let me fly with a temporary paper. You know, you can't, I don't think you can get on an airplane with a temporary license. So anyway, this week he's supposed to go to Cincinnati and he was going to fly anyway. So it's only a 4-hour. He's like, I'll just rent a car. And then I was like, I don't even know. Anyway, we get there this morning and the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't take this temporary license. And he's like, this is my license. I don't have my license. And I think normally, again, like when you get your new license, you still have your old one. You know what I mean? Like they stamp it or whatever, they punch it and then you still kind of have it. But he's like, I don't have it. It's lost. Like this is it. And he told the little guy, he's like, do not make this hard for me today. He's like, do not do this. And the guy let him. And I thought too, I'm like, hey, he's in the system. He rents not super, but pretty often he's renting cars from the same, you know, enterprise. Anyway, long story short, thank God he was able to get that. But I took him to do that. And then I got home and I had an encounter coaching group call today. And I had a poop test to do for instead of the colonoscopy. I had my Idaho 4 investigation I had to get on. So I've had a very busy day.
Oh, that's a little more than I wanted to know. All right.
But I wanted you to know.
Hey, I am so happy. And I know that, you know, Ruth's friend in North Carolina is very happy.
Megan, I believe it is, isn't it? Megan wanted to know that I had to do the mail your poop test. So
Yes.
Everyone needed to know about that. Yes, it's been a very, as you can see, I'm still in my captain. I put this on to go take him to the rental place. I thought it was the place just like right around the corner. Not that this matters. It really doesn't, but it was one a little further away. But they saw me in my caftan and I was like, well.
They'll never be the same.
Well, they should be happy to see me in my caftan. Okay.
That man won't sleep all night tonight.
No, he won't. That's probably what got him the ability to get without his license to go and do that. So
You're standing behind him flashing a little bit, weren't you?
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. No, I stayed in the car with my glasses, my dark glasses on. I mean, I had not a stitch of my hair, wasn't done, nothing. I just was in my caftan.
Off your mom.
I really was, you guys, in a big black pickup truck. I was literally, oh, just one martini away from the mafia. So yeah, that was in this weekend. We really just, it was a good chill. I love a good, like we had stuff to do, like just around the house. I mean, Tim needed to mow. Our yard was finally really out of control. And I'll tell you what, I saw a thing that said how the humidity level here in our area was as high as the freaking Amazon this weekend. And now, so I'm like, it was literally like, it's the same humidity as it is in the Amazon.
I have something for your presidential platform.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to demand that this be your first act that you do as president.
Demanding? Are you going to donate a lot of money to my campaign?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And as much Monopoly money as I can.
Okay, fair.
Okay. So, and I have talked about this before. Now, I love being outside. I love fresh air. I love sunshine. And I will be the first to tell you that the best thing for the COVID stuff was to stay outside, get sunshine, get fresh air.
Yep.
I'm 100% on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody in the EPA who has never set foot in the South has decided that nationwide, all the air conditioners in school must pump in 20% fresh air. Normally, I would be on board with this. And if I lived in Colorado, I would be on board with this.
Sure. Or in the winter, even?
Winter.
That's okay, too.
I just want you to know that in the South, in August, that does not work.
Gets a little humid in there. Little sticky.
The papers in my room are just folded from moisture. I go into school looking like a normal person. I walk out of school looking like a French fried poodle. I mean, it is as humid in my classroom. It might as well just rain in there.
I don't know how they can how the air system could handle. Is it cold?
Yeah, I mean, it's
cool. Does it feel cold, like clammy cold, or does it just
clammy cold?
No, I would think it would feel clammy.
Yes, it's clammy because you've got the air conditioner. I mean, frankly, it's a freaking meat freezer in there.
Yeah.
It's cold, but it's just wet.
Oh, my goodness.
It is.
I don't think that can be good for your lungs.
It's not good. That's probably what's wrong with my voice.
I think it is.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen. What's good for one part of the country is not good for the other parts of the country.
That's true. And all times of year and all the things, you got to adjust everything.
Seriously. I mean, these blanket laws that they throw down, I'm like, y'all, I'm sorry, but New York and the South are not the same. LA and the South are not the same. Mm-mm. They're not. And you can't make this blanket rule for everybody.
No, absolutely not.
And various laws. I mean, there's, you know, various laws that things are just not, they're not the same.
Mm. So. I agree. Okay. I will take that note. I'll take that under advisement. I will. I feel like that is.
It can be the French fried poodle rule.
Oh, okay. French fried poodle bill. I will have my Congress. Maybe I won't even have a Congress though. Come to think of it.
That's going to be an executive decision.
Come to think of it. That's an executive order right there.
Is because, because you know, somebody out in Colorado is going, that's a terrible idea.
They need
fresh air.
We like fresh air. Like we do too, but we don't like to breathe water.
Go outside and hug a tree in the South and see how long you can stay out there.
You guys, we're feisty today. We've got midgets. We're yelling at the people in Colorado. And I'm about to bring up something else now.
All right, go for it.
Okay, while we're getting, we'll just.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to where you think I'm going.
Okay.
Because I'm not going there if you are, because I'm not debating that issue anymore. Okay. because it's not debatable. And so I'm not going to debate.
Tell us instead of walking around it.
No, here. I'm going to walk way around it because I'm going another angle. But I'm letting you know that the angle that's in the news right now, too, that I happen, it's just we don't need to debate this anymore. And it's up to the people that disagree with the absolute biological science and the thousands of years of human history. It's up for them to prove that that's wrong. We don't have to prove that it's right because it's right. Okay. Everyone get that? Okay. So I have some thoughts about the WNBA. That's the women's NBA. That's why I said all that, because that's been said and we're not talking about that. Okay. But what I would like to say for those of you who don't, and I don't follow, listen, this is all literally, once again, the Instagram algorithm has decided that this is what I need to see. And I'll grant it, the reason it decides that is because it shows me clips or whatever, and then I pause and watch them. So there you go. We all know how it works. So I've been getting being served a lot of WNBA content, which I knew very little about. I knew three players' names, you know, whatever. But I've seen quite a bit now. And here's what I want to say. Here's my main thought. And there's plenty of thoughts that need to be said about the WNBA and the leadership of the WNBA. And we'll leave that for other people to discuss. But the thing that makes me the saddest right now, or makes me very just sad, is the fact that that the thing that's finally getting the WNBA on people's radar and talking about and making news, aside from whatever the other topics that we just talked about, that's big in the news right now, okay? And that's one aspect that's coming into the news. So that's getting them attention. And the only other thing that's really giving them attention is this whole, what I'll call just this mean girl crap vibe that's going on in the WNBA. That's what's getting people to watch this sport. And as a woman who knows what a woman is, I don't like mean girl culture. I don't think the fact, it's embarrassing to me. And I'm not talking about very competitive. Man, there's some good player. Like, I have been seeing some really amazing clips. I will have to say, I'm like, that Caitlin Clark can play. I don't know anything about her, but she can play. And many others. So that's been kind of fun. I'm like, oh, dang. Because, you know, again, I'm going to say something spicy. The reason people don't watch them as much as the men's sports is because the men's sports has been more competitive and more exciting to watch. Okay, that's just the way it goes. I didn't make the rules. Women think that. Men think that. We all think that. So now the league is here. It's been here. And they're playing, and there's some great. It piqued my interest a little bit. I'm like, wow, there are some really great. It is a little getting, seems like a little more exciting play. But the fact that what they're known for and the clips and the publicity that they're getting is 90%, 85-90% based on showing clips of these women just being mean and ugly to each other on the court. Violence, knocking each other down, pulling each other's hair, choke. I mean, like what I would call reprobate behavior. And I'm not talking, again, I understand competition. I understand the NBA. It can get rough.
Ginormous wrestling.
It's ginormous wrestling out there.
Macro
it's
wrestling.
Macro wrestling. And it's not even that. Like I said, I have watched a lot of sports, you guys. I have watched a lot of sports over a lot of years. I have watched the NBA. I have watched the 1990s Bulls versus the Pistons rivalry. Listen, go back and look at some footage. Okay. I understand that, you know, basketball is really become a contact sport, and that's different than it was way back in the day. It is much more contact. There are a lot of hard hits. There's a lot of things that really happen. But there's a difference between that and between some of this nasty, mean girl behavior that I'm seeing on the court. And I don't like it. And I think that they should be embarrassed. I think the league loves it because it's getting people to watch. It's getting eyes on them. And I think they love it. But to me, it just looks like almost like a big old Jerry Springer reality show.
I will tell you right now, as a teacher, I would rather break up a fight between boys.
Oh, yeah.
Would a girl fight?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Now, I won't even break up a fight.
No, you're not. You're too micro. No,
I'm too old for that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. No, I'm not breaking up a girl fight.
It's a situation. And here's the thing. Men love to watch that. Some weirdo, fetishy, weird wackadoodle men love to see some women fighting at each other. And some women love it because it's this whole mean girl gotcha, you know, whatever. They like to see it too because we've all experienced, you know. And so it's this weird sicko that your league is sitting here feeding eyes and attention on things that have nothing to do with basketball.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So there you go. Cancel away, people. No, I just, you know, that's to me sad. Again, I'm like, it is what it is. And we have lots of, but it's really when that's the main thing that's being shown and represented by, I don't see other sports doing that. I mean, you do some. I take that back. We always are, as a people, are going to tend to, you know, we all get that rubberneck and, you know, there's an accident or there's a baseball play that, you know, the fight when all the benches clear and the dugout's clear, you know, it does catch our attention. We do look at that. So I'm not going to 100%. But if that's 90% of what you were being shown in your baseball clips, I'm like, that's okay. Okay. That's what we're going to talk about. So that's all I have to say about that.
I will keep my mouth shut because, you know, I have some.
No, you need to keep your mouth shut. Keep it shut. That's why I prefaced the whole thing because I don't want to that's not what the main focus of what I was speaking on because we're not debating that because it's not for us to have to prove obvious things. So anyway, moving on. Oh, I did see something really cute the other day. I was having coffee at a little coffee place I like to go to and I was sitting outside on the sidewalk. It's right by a sidewalk and it's in a little neighborhood. So it's real cute. So you see lots of people walking by and dogs. This young woman walked by and she had her big old stocky gray pit bull with this big old head and this big old chonky pom pom pom. And he was carrying in his mouth a big old lamb stuffed toy.
Oh.
He had his lammy. And I just went, oh, I mean, he was just walking, wouldn't draw. He just was carrying his little lammy toy. And it was the cutest thing I think I've ever seen.
Layla bought Layla a sheep and she destroyed it within an hour.
Layla killed her lammy?
Yeah, she killed lammy.
Well, she's a puppy. She's in the chew, you know, rip and destroy. Has she ripped up any of his furniture we got him?
No.
Okay. He'll whip her if she does that.
Yeah.
He's like, I paid good money.
I have something to debate that I don't think has come up before.
What?
I can see it becoming an issue.
Okay, let's go.
So we had an open house Thursday night, and a teacher came in. She's newer than I am. You know, she's been there 2 or 3 years. She came in my room, and she said, do we have a service animal policy? And I said, what? Not that I know of. And she said, well, this girl, you know, it's in my room and her parents came in and she said, I don't know exactly the problems that are there, but they said the good news is next semester her service animal will be ready. And I looked at Megan and I said, are they talking about bringing the service animal to school? And she said, that's how I took it. I don't know, but that's how I took it. So she said, I kind of danced around it. I said, well, what, she said, what does it do? Well, it can It's going to be able to detect when the heart rate increases or decreases. And she said, well, what kind of dog is it? Well, it's a poodle pit mix. And I said,
oh, interesting.
I said, huh. I don't know that this can happen. And so I don't know with legality with service animals, because now, I mean, we'd have every kid in the school. I have anxiety and bringing, who wants to bring a dog to their dog to school with them. Then you're going to run into people with allergies. And then you're going to run into who's going to take the dog outside to go to the bathroom. How often are you going to have breaks in there? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be able to take, and I don't like culinary. I can't let an animal in the kitchen.
Right, right. That person couldn't take, but I think my guess would be per the ADA, you know, the American Disabilities Act and all that, if it's a legit service animal, there's a difference between a service animal and a support animal.
Well, and they're going to have to establish those lines.
Yeah, those are different.
Really quickly, mm-hmm. because you're now like, I mean, I know a woman who went online and got her dog registered as a service animal.
Sure.
And it's not, and she's just has anxiety or whatever.
But that's not actually a service. I mean, they may call it that, but that's not what it is.
Right.
And whereas this girl, it sounds like her dog has been gone through. It's a, but if it's detecting, like it'll be ready, means it's been trained. Yeah, but, like there's a program.
So what do you do with the kids who are allergic to dogs in the school?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You have to, you just, I don't know.
You know, I mean,
what do we do with the peanut kids? We just can't have peanuts. I mean,
you know, because you've got, well, but that you can avoid, you know, a dog and allergies. And it's just like, we were on a flight to Greece. We were going overseas and I didn't know it at the time, but this woman brought her cat on the plane.
I know you said that. I was like, oh,
it was a service cat or whatever.
Emotional support cat.
Emotional support cat.
Which, listen, let me just tell you something. Pause. If you have to get emotional support from a cat, the most unsupportive of all the pets.
I don't know that I want you on a
cats are known to like not give a care. No. Anyway, carry on.
But I'm thinking, and I was sitting there and we didn't know it. I mean, the airline never told us there was going to be a cat on board.
Right.
Nothing.
And some people are very allergic.
Finally, we found out. And I was like, if Tim Broyles was on this flight, he would be a mess.
He might be, yeah. He might could. He used to be really allergic. I think it's getting better, to be honest, but it for a while there was bad.
Bad. Yeah. I mean, if he walked in somewhere and there had been a cat in there.
Oh, yeah. It would have wiped him out then for the whole next day, too. And that would have been real fun for me on my vacation. So think about me, people.
I mean, you've got other considerations. But what I'm saying is everybody's coming up with, I have anxiety. And I, listen, as a teacher, I'm not very compassionate on this. Because I want to look at them and go, you're in high school. You have stress. We all had stress. You're trying to get scholarships ready. You are trying to get your research papers done. You are stressed out. This is normal. We all went through this. You don't have anxiety because you feel anxious right now.
Yeah, you can feel anxious. Sure.
But my point is that everybody in the school will come up with some sort of, I have to have dog with me.
Right. And instead of, and again, I don't want to be like, I don't know. I don't know if we're in a different place, but you know, I don't want to be unsensitive to real situations and hard situations, but we have to figure out another way to help handle it that is going to allow you to be in society, is what you're saying.
Right. Yes. Because I mean, okay, there's the Disabilities Act, right?
Sure.
But then, you know, this child has a right to public education without having to sneeze and cough and go into allergic reactions mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to be able to learn like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where is the line on these things?
Yeah, I think everyone is having to figure that out.
Right.
Every school did. And that's another one of these times where maybe what you were saying before too, you know, I would certainly rather see each school district and or school. I mean, that could even be school to school. Now, every year you're going to, it can become a, because every year you're going to have different things to deal with, but rather than a big overarching, you know, these are the kinds of things that need to be localized. But the ADA is a national, you know, is a federal.
Well, I mean, you could sequester them to, okay, everybody with, you know, who has a support animal, you're in this part of the building. Well, then you have to hire more teachers. You may have to build another room. You may have to build, you know, how are you going to, I mean, that's more money, more tax dollars, more everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and right now, I mean, I think it was pretty iffy if we were going to be able to bring all the teachers back this year or not.
It's definitely something that, schools and all kinds of places have to deal with. And I think most of them probably do. I'm surprised you all don't have a policy for that. But maybe it's just never come up.
Who's ever thought about?
Yeah. Because I've been to a lot of schools and places and colleges that have, that people have had support service animals. And so somehow I've been, actually, there was a gal in the, in college, was it at college? I think it was. I think it was. It was up at college. And she was in the orchestra and had a service dog. I think she was visually impaired. I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it was mobility.
I mean, to me, that's a different, I mean.
Yeah, she had a service dog and he would lay down under her chair during the performance. I mean, just lay there.
But what I am saying here, and I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about the blind service dogs and, but, and again, we're not set up for that. There are special schools, special things.
Right.
Blind. I'm talking about the, I have anxiety.
I'm
my dog with me.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that to me is not a service animal. That's a support animal. And that's a different thing. If you, you know, the people that have epilepsy and the people that have things that the dog tends to them when they have a thing and, you know, that, that to me is different. But yeah, you'll have to have a policy. You'll have to figure that out.
They've got to have a policy.
They're going to have to figure it out.
You know, I don't know what the legalities are when,
I don't know either.
When one right steps on another, you know, who has...
Well, we're finding that out all around us, aren't we?
Right.
We're just finding that out. So we'll just, we'll just see. And we want everybody to, you know, you know, it's tough. And when you're one that is different and when life is harder for you because of a situation you're having or whatever, that can be very, very hard. And that's not fair to you and that's not fair to anybody else. And it's, you know, but we have to figure out how to everyone to just get along.
All right. Well, give us an update on the Idaho murder.
Okay. Listen, I can't give a big update I'm not going to say anymore. I'll talk to you offline because I don't know, but I listened to an interview today that was released back in February of this year because I'm catching up on a lot. Like I haven't been, you know, I've been following it, but not like super into the YouTube channel since, you know, since the plea and all that this last year. I was like, well, okay. Anyway, but I heard an interview, a recording of an interview with somebody with the chief of police. I believe it was the chief of police in Moscow. That chief, the guy heading the, I believe, I'm pretty sure his last name is Fry, I believe. And all I'm going to say is I don't know why we haven't heard about this person that this person is talking about. I don't know why I have to do a deeper dive. I have to do some more investigating here because I've never heard this story before. I've never heard this theory. I've never heard this lead. I've never heard of this. And that might be because maybe it's not, you know, maybe it didn't turn out to be anything. But it fills in, it's very, like this guy is talking about somebody he knows, a young person. He's an older man talking that he knows, that he had conversations with, that told him he was in that house at another time when they did not know it, and that it would have been very easy for him to kill them, and had an altercation with some of them at a restaurant of a political debate kind of nature over weapon. So all, I don't know, but where's this person?
And why was that? Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to know that. Like, did they talk to him? Have they found this person? Because this is someone reporting on someone. And you could tell he was even broken up. He was even like had moments because he apparently is friends with the grandfather. And this may be of people that are kind of known in maybe powerful people in the area. And he's telling this, and he can tell at certain points, he's like, he got choked up a couple times. He's sort of rambly when he talks, but he got choked up a couple of times just thinking about it. He's like, this is going to just tear his grandpa apart. If this is like, he was upset. He's like, I can't believe,
yeah,
you know, this is breaking my heart. Cause I kind of like, I like this anyway. So you guys, I don't know. And I don't want to say too much more about it. Cause I don't know. I'll send you the interview, Joni. You can listen to it, but, it's wild.
You know, the first days we have intruder drills and fire drills and all that, but I have to go through my drills and I'm talking about intruder drills with my class today.
Oh, I hate that you have to do that.
No. And I said, y'all, and I said, look, if you see something or you hear something that you think that's off, I said, you need to tell somebody.
Yep.
It may not be anything. And I gave them two examples. One, you know, I had a kid acting real, real weird in my classroom and he kept going to his backpack and, you know, just different things. And I went and I told the SRO, I said, look, something's off. He's just
off. You just knew something was off. Yep.
Anyway, it turned out he'd like stolen a girl's ring or something. And so that's
what was off, which he shouldn't have done. And he should get busted. Yep.
But I was afraid that he'd had a gun in his backpack or something.
You didn't know.
But then a girl came to me one day and she said, I need to tell you something. And I said, okay. And so she starts telling me about this boy, and I knew the boy, and I knew his parents. And she said, he keeps talking about shooting up the school.
Oh, I remember you telling me this, yeah.
And
which is like very, I mean, now we have to take it.
Yeah, and she said, I didn't think much of it until she said, today he went out and he was looking around at the cameras in the hallway. And I said, okay. I said, you need to go talk to Coach Wes about this. And she said, I don't know. She said, I don't want to get him in trouble.
I know, that's the thing.
And here was my response was, you know, I know him. I don't think, you know, if I were to say, I don't think he would shoot up the school. I know his parents. I hate to get him in trouble too. But how are you going to feel if he does shoot up the school and you never said a word?
And how about also, if people are going to say they're going to shoot up a school, you're going to get in trouble. Like, right. That's on him. If he actually said it, you shouldn't say that.
Shouldn't say that. You know, this was a few years ago. This was early on where
But that's the lesson kind of to learn.
Or, you know, you could joke around and say, you know, somebody would do something. And I say it to Ron all the time. He'd say something and I'd say, I swear I'm going to kill you. You know,
right. But that's different. Really,
But now you can't even say that.
No.
You can't.
You for sure can't say I'm going to shoot up a school. Like you can't, we can't say that. Cause it's not really even funny or.
You can't even take a picture of a gun and put on Snapchat.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you just can't, all those things in his threats. Anyway. So, but it is, don't say stuff.
You never know.
You never
know. And that's like this guy. And this was pretty, this interview is, it was wild. And I mean, I have never heard this. That's why I'm like, what has come of, like, where is this what was this followed up on? Was this found out to be completely untrue and none of it happened and the kid was making it up or, I don't know. But he had a bunch of knives. Showed the knives to the guy, had them like stashed in different places, had his mother had a very bad experience at the school and possibly even at that house as a high schooler, had a bad, like there's, again, this is this guy saying this, who would have no reason. I mean, I don't know this man, but he's coming forward to saying this and kind of hesitantly at times, just because he's like, I know his, you know, this is going to crush him. I hope I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. I hope I'm totally wrong. So, I mean, it certainly does a lot more of explaining a possible motive. Than what we've gotten so far. Again, not to say, you know, BK could have done it and could have felt. Let's find out. We're going to find out.
Find out the truth.
Yeah. We'll hopefully find out. So he does have a lawyer. He does have a public defender assigned to him. So the next steps will be his, they'll rewrite his affidavit that he wrote, and they'll kind of spruce it up and legalize it up a little bit and resubmit that. And then I think after that, it goes to like evidentiary hearing, because basically he has to, you know, now the situation is you have to prove that you, got to get the judge to say yes, that we can go forward with this. You know, they don't have to. So we'll see, but it's wild. Okay, we have used up almost all of our time. We've had so much to say today. Please don't cancel us, but you know what? Whatever. I think we're ready for your recipe.
All right, you ready? I am going to give you a recipe for pear relish.
For what?
Pear relish.
Oh.
Excellent, like on meats and vegetables.
Oh, this sounds like we're about to get into some fall. I'm feeling fallish. Okay.
All right. You need about, now this is a big one. You could, it's going to make a lot.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But you can cut it in half if you want to or whatever. But you need about 40 pears.
Oh. Are you rich? Do you think I made a money?
And Court, the actual recipe says one peck of hard.
You know what? This is also for, this is for you to like can up and like can. I would say this is for, yeah. This,
recipe.
Because this would be good. This would be, get better the longer it sat.
This is for canning your stuff.
Okay.
Right?
So how do we do it with like four pairs?
You need half of them, not four.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll have to break it down.
Listen, guys, if you and all your friends want to make this and divvy it up, this will be a fun activity. Okay.
It's a group activity. 40 pairs.
And then go to midget wrestling.
Yes.
Afterwards.
Hey, 40 pairs peeled, cored, and quartered.
Okay.
So you cored and quartered. All right. That's hard to say.
I'm very impressed.
You need 5 medium onions peeled and quartered. You need 6 green bell peppers, seeded and quartered. They like the quartered here.
You got to quarter it.
Cups of sugar, 1 tablespoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of whole pickling spice. You're also going to tie that up in a cheesecloth, so you do need some cheesecloth with that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 5 cups of apple cider vinegar and 1 tablespoon of turmeric. All that's really going to do is add some color to it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Turmeric is very good for you.
It's a health food, you guys. This is health food.
Superfood. And so you can put it in there or you can omit it because it's just for coloring really, but it is good for you. So I recommend putting
it
in.
Put it in.
Okay. So you are going to put your pears, peppers, and onions. You can use a meat grinder or a food processor, either one.
Okay.
Just get that, you know, you're going to finely grind it. And then you're going to make a syrup of sugar, vinegar, salt, and turmeric and boil with your spices, with that pickling spice. Make sure that's in a cheesecloth.
Right.
You're going to put that in your syrup. Bring that to a boil and cook for 30 minutes at a slow boil. Don't cover it. Just a slow boil. Okay. You don't want to make rolling boil or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you're going to remove the spice bag and you're going to spoon your relish into hot, sterile jars.
Okay.
That will seal quickly. I'm sorry, you got to mix your vegetables in with your syrup.
Okay, and I was going to say, we didn't mix anything in yet. Okay. Okay.
While it's hot, go ahead and spoon it into your hot jars and then seal it. It should seal pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, we can go through the boiling stuff later. The canning stuff later, but you can, you know, bring some hot water to a boil and set your jars down in there and then pull them out and then they should seal.
Okay.
But you were going to,
yeah, go ahead.
it'll make about 12 pints of pear relish.
That is a lot. Listen, this actually, this makes me think this would be really great to plan ahead. Again, we're all getting back to school. You know, kids are back, teachers going back. This could be a really cool and creative teacher gift. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm thinking, is tied up with a little piece of fabric and a little ribbon, or like if your school has exchanges or fall festival or, you know, all this stuff coming up. Like, this would be a really, really good thing. Or you've got a gift exchange in your little Bible study group, or your secret sister, your whatever. This would be really great.
So I'm going to have my class make this.
Oh, this will be nice.
So it's easy. That's why this is so big, though. I mean, if I've got 4 groups, I've got 10 pairs a piece, mm-hmm. you know, for each group. And then you divide that.
It's perfect for that.
If you get, like, you know, you and 3 other friends together.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it would be really fun. It would be a fun little women's activity. Even if your church or your group or your little book club or anything that you're in wants a little activity to do like that.
That would be really fun. We've got a bazaar coming up at our church.
Yep. That's what I was thinking. Yep. Bake sales, bazaar, like all these kind of little things. That would be super fun. So good. I'm glad you did. This is good timing because people can start planning. Or just for your family, like you said. I mean, I would hate to do that many jars if you weren't sure you were going to like it. Like, because then your family will be like, not the pear relish again.
You've seen the on Andy Griffith's show when Andy made pickles.
Yes.
Hated her pickles.
Yes. And they're like, they're the worst pickle. Right. So I don't feel like you want to, that's a big investment but like if you did it as a group, like you said, and then you each just, you know, had a couple jars or something, then that would be fun to, it sounds really good to me. It sounds really good. Like that with pork.
Yes.
Or something like this. That sounds really good.
Yep. Okay. Relish.
Thank you. Thank you for that recipe. I think it's my top three.
Top three.
Yes. Thank goodness.
This one. All right. This week on my top three, my first thing is a makeup item and it is CoverGirl. So this is very affordable. And this was a surprise to me. How many months ago now? Last spring, probably. Yeah, I think it was because I was still buying lighter colored foundations, but I kind of did a little journey on, trying some different cream makeups instead of the liquid. I like some liquid foundations. I like some fine, but very intrigued by the cream stuff and the kind of with the better skincare. Anyway, so I tried a bunch of different ones, and one of the ones that I saw, and this was just at the Target or wherever, was CoverGirl. It's the CoverGirl Plus Olay Simply Ageless Cream Foundation. Now they have a liquid of this, I believe, with the Olay, you know, if you had a grandma, or, you know, oil of Olay, they have a liquid, but this is in a compact and it's a cream, and it's the one, it's got like white swirls in it. Like it's like the makeup and then the white, I mean, it looks like it's going to be as old school, like your great Aunt Gertrude's, you know, makeup. There's not a great selection of the shades, at least in the different stores. It's hard sometimes they don't all have it. But I've used it several times, many times, and it is surprisingly good. It feels really nice going on. I use a brush, like a stiff, you know, kind of stiff foundation brush. And put that on, it goes on really well. It feels kind of cool, like you sort of swirl a little bit, so you're getting the, you know, it picks up a lot though, but the kind of swirling that white stuff in with it. And tap it all around, it blends in smooth. It just blends right away. It's a delight. I think, I don't even have it up here. I want to say too, it might have an SPF. I think there's SPF in it as well. But it's just so easy to put on, and it just blends in really nice.
Well, let me interject here. There was a man in my church growing up, and he was in his 90s before he died, did not have a wrinkle on his face. And he would tell everybody he used oil of Olay every night.
He used that oil of Olay. You guys, it used to be, it was just a lotion, like a face, thin face lotion back in the day before we had everything. Back of you people that don't know, you 20-somethings that don't know, and we don't barely know, but there wasn't all the serum. Like, we didn't have all that. Nobody had all that. But there was that bottle of oil of Olay.
Yeah. Listen, he made believers out of everybody.
Listen, I bet those women ran down to the pharmacy and bought it out. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, yes, oil of Olay. It takes you back. But it's just, it was really good. And it's in a compact, like I said. And I don't know, more and more like for travel, and it's not a liquid. You don't have to worry about. But it's very, I will say that the colors, like I said, again, I don't know like they look a lot darker in the pan. Like, I wear almost the darkest one when I'm tan. I can wear, like, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, I probably have four colors, because I was kind of trying some lighter ones and I liked them. They were pretty much the same. And then I tried a little bit darker, and then I'm like, surely this really dark one will be too dark. And I looked at it in the pan when I was getting ready to put it on, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But I put it on and it was great. And I'm like, what the heck? So take that as you will. Very good. And then the second thing I have is a game on my phone. It's called Word Connect, and it's a game, a little app, Word Connect. And it's really fun. I love it because it's like, it puts up all these different, kind of like, was it Connections?
Yeah.
Yes. That's, is that this? Yeah. It's like that. Only it's a whole grid of words, and you move them around to get the lines to match. So it's like Connections, but like more. So there's more. And then, like, you'll pick four, it's four across, and you'll match the four across. And then sometimes what it'll do is it'll shrink that up into one thing. Like, it might be like ball, net, grass, you know, ref. And it's like, well, that's, you get all those and it's soccer. And then it puts that in its own. And then other things, maybe later, that goes with basketball and football, you know, like sports. So it's just like a whole, one of those brain games. And it's just fun to play. Like, if you're in the car or you're watching a show with your husband that you don't really want to watch, but you're watching it to be with him and be a good wife. Not that, I don't know.
Not that ever happens.
I don't, it's not me. I'm just saying. It's fun. And then the last thing is just really simple and easy, but it is making me delighted. It's the summer tomatoes. I swear my husband is going to turn into a tomato. He eats tomato every day. Like, he just, every week he goes to the farmer's market, gets the tomatoes. And they are just so good right now. And every year I don't know, it just reminds me how great they are. And I'm really enjoying them. So simple, simple.
Guilty.
I know. We haven't had some for a couple of weeks, so I'm about ready to cook some more up, because they are the best of all the sandwiches. Well, that's all I have today. I'm going to go have a glass of wine and go watch shows. Tim's out of town, so that means I'm just going to watch whatever shows I want.
Go for it. Go for it.
I don't know. It's like I can't watch what I want when he's here. I go off. If I don't want to watch what he's watching, usually I just go in my room and watch what I want on my computer. But I'm trying to be a better woman. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. I guess that's it. Till next week, I don't think anything. I'm going to be in Chattanooga this weekend. We're going to chat. I did forget to mention that. We're heading to chat on Thursday through the weekend. Anyway, Kelp and Ave and Joey are moving into their first house.
How fun.
So, why people are moving in August?
Do you want the bad news?
No.
It's going to be 116 degrees on Sunday.
We're coming hot. We're done on that. Okay, we're done that day.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Sunday and Monday are going to be unbearable.
Okay. Well, if we can just make it through the weekend, y'all can be praying for us. But we'll be fine. We'll be excited. Thatcher's coming down. It'll be a whole hootenanny. So, okay, guys, until next time, see you later, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
You surprised me. I was working on doing something.
Surprise.
And surprise. He was the best of the Smurfs.
Was the best of the Smurfs ever. Yeah.
Surprise. That just shows our age.
Well.
What?
Go ahead.
No, I was saying supposedly the Smurfs were like satanic or something, but I didn't get that when I was growing up.
Yeah, I never did either. And I kind of looked for it because I heard that when I was young. And,
I didn't hear it when I was young. I heard it like grown.
Oh, no, I heard it when I was young. And I kind of looked out. Gargamel was, you know, some warlock or something. I don't know. But other than.
I mean, it was pretend. There aren't little blue creatures.
Well, I mean, the Wizard of Oz, you had a witch in the Wizard of Oz. You had, you know.
Right? I mean.
Never knew what the Smurfs were supposed to represent something. And I don't know.
Well, I'm glad I didn't know because I loved them.